Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks and Nihei Debiru. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Let's start off this week by announcing a few upcoming events. On April 24th and 25th, Robert Bowles will host the ISA International Martial Arts Seminar in Fort Wayne, Indiana. To find out more, visit www.shuri-ru.com. From June 11th to 15th, Neil Stoltzmark will hold the 14th Annual Warrior Gashku Seminar in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This year's guest of honor is Minoru Nakazato, 10th Dan and head of Shorinru Shorinkan. Find out more at www.AuthenticAncientArts.com. From June 26th to 28th, Philip Keppel will host the 31st USKK International Karate Kobudo Championships Seminar and Tournament in Peoria, Illinois. To find out more, go to www.uskk.org. From October 2nd to 4th, also in Peoria, Illinois, Joseph Walker will host the Kagami Bikari Gashku. Go to AOK Karate on Facebook for further details. And finally, the weekend of November 6th, 7th, and 8th in Cincinnati, Ohio, the Kosho School of Karate will host Jodo and Iaido expert and the 2014 Japanese National Bato Do Champion, Sensei Chusho Fukuhara, along with Shuriken expert Ikenaga Sensei and top student of Goju Ryu's Yoshio Kuba, Miwa Kanazawa, along with several other members of the Meisui Kan Dojo in Naha, Okinawa. To find out more, email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com or call 513-510-3844. If you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, please let us know, and we'd be happy to announce them on the show. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. Don't forget, if you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. We're doing something a little bit new on Chop Talk this week. We have our first phone-in guest, my good friend from Nashville, Mr. Ezra Scott. How are you doing, Ezra?
I'm doing good, Nate. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for taking the time to do the show with me.
Oh, sure thing. I'm honored. I'm proud to be on Chop Talk whenever I'm invited.
Well, we're proud to have you. Anytime, you're welcome. So the weather in Cincinnati is miserable this week. We got basically a blizzard Saturday morning. What's it like down there in Nashville?
Yeah, how much snow did you guys end up getting?
We got about 6 inches, which was on top of the about 6 inches that we already had. So we probably have a foot to 14 inches on the ground. So you were originally talking about coming up to work out this last weekend, and
Yeah, I was going to come out and work out and visit Mr. Awad before he had his knee surgery, but it just didn't seem like it was going to be a good idea for me. As being as had somebody that has grown up in Nashville my whole life, I'm just not really up to snuff as far as taking a long road trip in those kind of conditions.
Yeah, I guess you guys aren't used to it down there exactly. I'm from Illinois, so we get it fairly often.
Yeah. Yeah, you and Mr. Hammond, you guys wouldn't have any problem.
No, not at all.
Taking a 5-hour road trip in the snow and ice, but
you guys get a couple of flakes and the whole city shuts down.
It's true. This time we actually we got a lot of ice this time, which is sort of a kind of a typical thing down here. A lot of times there's something about the climate down here that we end up having these ice events, which are kind of, you know, a little harder to deal with than normal snow. I have a little experience with that. I've, you know, driven up there before when it was snowing, stuff like that. But
Yeah, sure.
And you get an inch of ice on the ground, and it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, you'll get a kick out of this. Saturday morning when everything was coming down, I mean, it was seriously snowing. I look outside. The snow plows are going by. Nobody's on the street. And guess what I did see on the street?
Somebody running down the middle of the street.
A jogger in the middle of the street. I swear to you, I've got a video of it. I'm going to put it up on the Facebook site. This guy is running, and the thing is here, I live in a decent part of Cincinnati. Okay, now, Ezra, yeah. Stop me if I'm exaggerating anything here, okay? I live in a decent part of Cincinnati, but it's a residential street, but it's a four lane. So I got two lanes going either way. I've got a lane of parking. I've got about a 3-foot strip of grass and then a really nice sidewalk on both sides.
Very nice sidewalk, actually.
A beautiful sidewalk to run, jog, walk your dog. But what happens in this neighborhood is people go out in the street. The sidewalk's not good for them, and they run in the middle of the road, and it drives me nuts. And I figured out what it is. It's
for those of you who don't know, it really does drive Mr. England nuts.
It really does. Now, the thing is, I have no problem with anybody wanting to exercise. I have nobody wanting to exercise by running on the road if they're out in the country and there's no sidewalk. But when there's a perfectly good sidewalk, but you still run in the middle of the road, I figured these people aren't interested in exercising. They're interested in other people seeing them exercise. They're exhibitionists.
That's right. Yeah, they probably are.
And that's what it is. And that's what was going on. So these guys, the snow plows are going back and forth, and not the little snow plows like, someone puts
a... the big ones, the real snow plows.
Yeah, the real ones. And these guys are running, and this plow is going, and it's slick. I remember I told you last year we got a bunch of snow and ice, and I was driving, and I rolled down my window, and I told this guy, I'm like, what are you doing? Get out of the road!
Yeah, this may or may not have been the actual language Mr. England used.
It was the gist.
That up to the listeners to guess what Mr. England actually said to the guy.
I said, get the fuck out of the road! What the hell are you doing? And he looks at me and he goes, you get out of the road! I'm in my car! I'm driving my car. What the hell's wrong with everybody? And then the last time that you were up here, I'm just going to continue on this for about 10 or 15 more minutes before we actually start talking about karate. The last time you were up here, I don't know if you remember, but I remember very well. We're driving back from the karate school to my house, and there is a bodybuilder. Like, I'm not exaggerating. This isn't a guy in good
that
shape.
That guy was great. Yeah, It was almost like something off In Living Color or something. He had on really, really tight shorts.
He had booty shorts.
Yeah, he had on like kind of booty shorts.
Nothing else.
Was he a white guy or a black guy?
He was a black guy and literally a bodybuilder. Yeah. Like not like a guy who's in good shape.
Yeah, no, I mean, he really was a bodybuilder. Bodybuilder. That guy actually, he looked like somebody that might even have competed in bodybuilding.
Right. And that's the perfect example of what I'm talking about. They just want you to look at them. They don't care about the exercise. It drives me.
Yeah, they want to make sure nobody misses them doing what they're doing there.
No, and it drives me freaking nuts. All right, let's talk about some karate.
Pretty bad, okay. All right, well, we've got that covered. So now all of the listeners of Chop Talk know, if you ever decide to go for a jog in Cincinnati and you're in the Erie Boulevard area, don't do it out in the middle of the street because
get on the
you might
side.
Be the hair that breaks the camel's back there. You could be what ends up sending Mr. England away to the penitentiary for vehicular homicide.
Oh, I swear to God.
So, and stay on the sidewalks, guys.
And I don't want everybody else to start shaming these people. If you see somebody in the middle of the street, tell them, honk at them, get the hell on the sidewalk. Yeah. What are you doing? And I'm trying to get our new police lieutenant in town on board with me also. Just
Mr. Schwingley, get some pull now.
Yeah,
here.
Just heard him. Just move him
over. Yeah, congratulations to Mr. Schwingley there, by the way.
Yeah, it's a big definitely.
You didn't know Mr. Dennis Schwingley, longtime student of the Cincinnati Coach of School of Karate and. Student of Mr. Mike Awad, actually one of Mr. Awad's one of the oldest students, because he started Mr. Awad when he was a teenager, him and his brother,
yeah,
in the late 70s, I guess, and he has been promoted to lieutenant of the Cincinnati Police Department.
Yeah, definitely. Big lieutenant. You know, I'm looking forward to having a Commissioner Swingley someday. Then we can really get this problem taken care of.
Man, that's right. Pretty cool.
All right.
Pretty cool. So,
Ezra, you were wanting to talk about kicking this week. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been having been thinking about that a lot lately. For those of you who aren't familiar with me, I'm the chief instructor for Mr. McLean here at Mr. McLean's Coach School of Karate in Nashville.
Yeah, give him a plug.
And I've been with him for 14 years now, but I'm a knee don with Mr. McLean. And I also participated in Grace Jiu-Jitsu at another dojo here in town, a Zanshin dojo. My jiu-jitsu teacher there is Eric Silver. He also happens to be a karate guy. He's a Wado-ryu, a Japanese-style karate guy, and they teach Wado-ryu karate there, too. And in one of our self-defense classes the other day, they teach it in a separate format. Like, he teaches...
So you're not doing
jiu-jitsu
the...
classes.
Yeah, you're not doing the jiu-jitsu and the karate at the same place.
I am not a Wado-ryu student. I just take Grace Jiu-Jitsu from it.
Okay.
But the classes are separate. But he'll mix some things in, because, you know, how can you not? If you're, you know, been heavily involved in both these martial arts your whole life, about how these things intersect. And
there starts getting to be some overlap after a while.
Showing us some stuff about how he does kicking for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it really got me thinking, because he was... and I had noticed this before when we've sparred a little bit, that his kicks come off really fast.
Okay.
I see some of them coming, but, you know, he'll flip some in on me. And when he was describing what he was doing, I started to get a little bit better idea of what he was really doing. He has really broken down the motion of how you throw the kick as far as the first thing you're doing, obviously, if you're going to throw a kick, you're going to shift your body weight to the foot that's not kicking. And then you're going to start to aim the knee that is kicking towards the target. The foot peels up off the ground. You kick. And then the thing that he was really doing that was something that I hadn't really thought about so much was like kicking and putting his foot down just as fast as he had kicked.
Okay, so instead of leaving it hang up there for a second after the kick, trying to get it back.
Yeah,
not at all.
I mean, really just like kick, boom, the foot goes down. And he was actually kind of using it as a way to close the distance.
Okay.
And he was talking about it like that as far as from a jiu-jitsu perspective. He was saying this is a way that you can close distance and clinch with the guy. Because that's, you know, generally in Grace Jiu-Jitsu, those guys always want to clinch.
Mm-hmm.
To stay safe for punches. And from the clinch, sometimes they'll strike, sometimes they'll take the guy down. Depending on the context of the fight, they might, you know, take the fight to the ground, or a lot of times it's a street fight, they don't necessarily go to the ground, they just take the other guy down.
Yeah, you don't want to roll around on whatever might be out on the street. In the ring, it's okay, but you got broken bottles, dog shit, you don't know what's down there.
So yeah.
Stay exactly. Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATEC, Okinawa specialists in sports therapy and wellness care. ATEC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATEC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo. your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
So, he was sort of using it like that. I just kept kind of thinking about it, and I was trying to remember, you know, some of what Mr. McClain had taught us about that. And I was also thinking about just sort of from the point of view of just the Shuguru standards,
mm-hmm.
what do the Shuguru standards teach us about kicking?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, like, the wazas, like, in Ippons and Taijus, at least in the you know, stuff in the pinnacle, you know, most Shuguru schools, for those of you that are familiar with Shuguru, will have some little bit different set of self-defenses that they do. That usually varies with the sensei a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be whatever the guy likes to put together, whatever he's put together over the time that's worked for him. And then going back to what we mentioned before, the Ippons and the Taisu wazas, for all the Shuguru people out there, they know exactly what we're talking about. But for the other people, the Ippons and Taisu, they're going to be short combinations, so maybe someone's throwing a punch, you're going to block, kick, strike, punch them a couple times, and step out. So it's a very short combination. It's going to be similar to the Yakisoku Kumite that some of the maybe Shorinru guys are familiar with, or one-step sparring, I think some Shorinru guys I've seen do. So, okay, now that we've got everybody caught up, go ahead. What was your thought on that?
Yeah, oh, I was just thinking about, you know, like you were saying, they pretty much all of them, they have, you know, a block in the, that's the best way to phrase this, in the Ippons, Taijus, Tihons, and Shuguru, almost always the kick is set up by something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like you block. And then by blocking, you know, our style, most of those movements, I don't know, we'll see what you think about this, but I think almost always, when you block in Shuguru, you're affecting the other guy's balance in some way. You're kind of affecting his posture, getting him out of control because you're blocking hard, generally.
Yeah.
And kind of open hand blocks where you block the outside of the arm or something, a lot of times you're going to kind of you're moving the guy around because he's coming in with a big committed attack. You're blocking. You change the guy's posture, his body angle, and then you kick.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's usually followed up by hand techniques. I think the only ones that start with a kick is there's a couple that start with like a haikugeri, sort of like an inside crescent kick. For those of you who aren't familiar with that technique, it's an inside sweeping crescent kick. There's some religions blocking a punch. I would think it would be effective in self-defense as maybe as a way to block somebody if you had heavy boots on or something, and somebody had a beer bottle and they were stabbing at you.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. We've seen that in all the 80s action TV shows where somebody's threatening them with a knife and you clear it out with a crescent kick. That's what we're basically talking about.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, to some extent a valid kind of thing. I think a lot of your sort of reality combat people might sort of look down on that, but I've known people who've done it before, so
but
I don't know. So yes, I was just sort of thinking about that. Then the thing that I thought about Mr. McClain is, and see, okay, so here this is kind of what I was going to say about it is, to me that goes along a little bit more with the way that you would use kicks in like kickboxing, because like in kickboxing, you generally aren't going to like, and I'm using kickboxing as a really overriding term, but I'm going to include in that, like Muay Thai, the kind of K-1 rules, kickboxing, Kyokushin,
so any kind
style
of
fighting,
any kind of ring fighting,
where you're really whomping the other guy. MMA is a little bit of a little different, which, and I'll say why I think that later. But in saying Muay Thai or K-1 style kickboxing, when you go to kick a guy, it's just like the way that you strike in boxing. You know, you might throw it, the jab comes out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
but the jab is setting up your body position for the next punch. So it has a lot more to do with combinations than it does to do with just coming completely out of nowhere and clearing somebody out and having that be it. You know, that's really more of a karate thing and a thing that we do for self-defense, but it's also the way you really learn how to do that is in, like, kumite sparring generally. That's how guys learn how to, you know, guys like Mr. Awad or Mr. McClain that can really hit you without loading up at all.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of where what Mr. Silver was doing with his kicks, he's kind of doing that with his kicks, where he had figured out a way to be able to just shoot his kick up out of nowhere, which is really, that's really different when you think, you know, I mean, generally in like kickboxing or something, you're setting up one thing with another. You're getting your body in position to do one power technique with another technique.
Right.
It's just sort of different. And the thing Mr. McClain had said
and the
about
thing,
that,
the thing about that, Ezra, is that there's very few kickboxing matches that end after one kick, but there's probably been a lot of self-defense situations where someone gets blasted, you know, either by in the groin by, you know, especially for like a woman or a kid who's being attacked by somebody, you know, bigger or stronger than
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or somebody who really knows what they're doing. You and I have both heard stories of guys that we know that have, you know, hit somebody with like a step through sidekick on the street, and well, that's the end of that guy.
And you know, that's actually something that that I was interested in talking about, because I think it's you know, of course, it's a fun part of talking about martial arts is the anecdotes,
right?
Because everybody loves talking about fighting and stuff like that, but it's really useful, especially if you know that there's a pretty good level of veracity to the story.
Mm-hmm.
To actually have some sort of, you know, good anecdotal evidence behind some of the stuff. Because, like, say, for me, I've been in, you know, with some fights before. Most of them were before I started doing martial arts.
Right.
When I was, you know, 18, 19-year-old guy, and I was pretty wild and stuff like that. But I haven't ever really seen people use kicks very much in fights, and I have never... I've kicked somebody while they were on the ground before.
Okay.
It's like an uneducated, just kick somebody in the face. I've done that before. I'm not proud of it, but
right, right.
Not as a martial artist, I didn't, before I, you know,
after you
came into the light.
This
you know?
Is, yeah, before you've learned the karate do and you only knew the karate
and
jitsu.
I've also kicked a guy before. In high school, I was kind of sort of sparring behind auto mechanics with this Russian guy.
Okay.
Really, we were just kind of fighting with people watching.
Were they taking bets?
Me in the legs, and this is actually, I was thinking about this because of the story you were telling me the other day, which I'm sure you'll tell next.
Right.
But the guy was kicking me in the legs because he actually, that guy was abused. Pretty good little martial artist. He could do jumping, spinning kicks and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He had taken some, you know, martial arts, because that's such real popular in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, sure. We had a Russian guy who just joined the dojo just a few months ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He started kicking me in the legs, and I started kicking him in the legs back real hard. And it was kind of like the story you were telling where he started kicking me, and I wouldn't have thought of that.
Let me tell my goddamn story,
like, oh, you're
Ezra.
Kicking me, so I'll, you know, screw you, I'll kick you back.
Yeah, well, Ezra,
I know you had an experience like that, too.
Right, yeah, well, you know, what I've found is that when people are arguing, they're in a fight, they start shoving one another, the thing that is going to come first is somebody's going to take a big wild swing. The first thing isn't usually people start thinking about kicking, unless you're fighting a guy and you remember, oh yeah, I'm in karate, I can kick this guy. Well, then he starts kicking. So I was in high school, we were in the locker room, and I was in a fight with this guy, and I had hit him with a roundhouse kick to the thigh, actually a couple of them. And then all of a sudden, there were no kicks in the fight before that, and all of a sudden, guess what? He starts kicking too, because it sort of opens that up. So that's what I found in seeing other... again, anecdotal evidence and hearing other stories, that's what happens. A guy, especially a person who doesn't know, hasn't been trained how to fight,
won't
normally go to that.
I think there's some different things, different people from different parts of the world, too. Like, in my high school, there were a lot of kids from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
like, I mean, a lot of other countries, because we had a big ESL program. There was, like, a lot of Kurdish kids. There was a lot of Haitian kids. The Kurdish kids would kick a little bit if they got in fights because they played, they were from a soccer, you know, it's like a soccer culture, you know?
Right.
And they would kick more kind of like, I think sort of like what we're talking about, more sort of like what you would think of as like leg kicks in mixed martial arts or in Muay Thai, like sort of big roundhouse kind of kicks to the legs.
Right.
Then the Haitian guys, they did a really funny thing where, and this may have almost been some sort of folk martial arts thing that I don't know about. I don't, didn't ever keep in touch with any of those guys.
Some kind of Haitian, some kind of Haitian capoeira.
They would pick their knee up and do like a stomp, like a thrust kick. With like the bottom of their foot. Kind of shoving the guy away from them. And it wasn't wildly effective, but it definitely was like a real technique. It was like, you know, something they were kind of trying to do.
Mawari no hito ni sawo sukete imasen ka? Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyo to shite imasen ka? Sports massage, kenkou no specialist, Medical Resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC de wa okyaku sama no karada ni awasaita massage wo okunaimasu. Mata, ATAC no sanso shitsu ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. Taisha koujo, kega no soki kaifuki ni kikimasu. Junansei wo takameru, stretching course ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC wa pro chimu, Rukyu Golden Kings, FC Rukyu, soshite Rukyu Korazan no senshu mo ryo shite masu. Zehi ichido goraiten kudasai. Open, getsuyobi kara doyobi made, Okinawa ken, Naha shi, Oroku, 1-28 no 30. Denwa bango, 098-859-1890. Homepage mo cheko shite mite kudasai. www.sanso-atac.com www.sanso-atac.com Ego, Portugalgo, Spengo, Nihongo ga hanaseru staff ga imasu. Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
You know, I know for me, one of the things that I think about it, just we're kind of jumping around here, but from a personal standpoint, it's not a go-to technique for me that I would use for self-defense for a couple of reasons. One, I don't really have really great balance, I don't think.
Okay.
It's probably a lot better than a lot of people's because I've been training martial arts for so long. But
sure.
Just naturally as a person, I'm not. You know, it's something that I've learned, not something that I came out with. And so for me, I think that that's picking my feet up off the ground isn't really something I'm interested in. I want to kind of stay glued to the ground. The other thing is, for me, because of my body type, I think, I have pretty big butt and hips and thighs. And,
yes, you do.
I don't, unless I have on, like, army pants, I can't really kick, like, in just regular blue jeans.
Okay. Well, like, you guys wear...
I have to have, like, a gusset crotch for me to really do... Because really...
Well, hold on. You guys wear the super tight ones down there with the cowboy boots. You're in Nashville, right? That's what all the country... And sequins on them.
Well, no. I don't wear super tight jeans. I did when I was younger.
Okay.
I just wear, like, regular 501s.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is to be able to get my knee up... Because to kick really well, even when you're just kicking low, which, of course, is... you know, anybody can tell you that's what you want to do in a street fight. If you're going to kick, you don't want to be trying to, you know, kick people in the head unless you're some kind of really superstar pro martial artist.
Right.
That kind of stuff needs to stay mostly below the belt, you know, groin, legs. You still need to bring your knee up. Your knee's got to come up. You know, I mean, it's like the number one thing you'll hear martial arts teachers, you know, if they're teaching a bunch of Q ranks how to kick, get your leg up, get your knee up, you know,
right.
over and over and over again. You got to get your knee up, hold your knee up, pull your knee up higher, you know. And so, like, if I wear military pants, like PDUs, I can kick great in those. Because they're about like karate pants.
They're baggy.
But
some
in jeans, I can't, you know, and I think that that's probably, you know, it's sort of something to think about. You know, if your attire can restrict your ability to do some of these things, you know.
You know, that's a really good point,
that's
Ezra.
Kind of just from my perspective, you know.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and you know, we're not all going to go out and buy Chuck Norris action jeans today or, but, you know,
no.
But, you know, I remember getting in a situation when I was at Miami University and it didn't came to blows, but it was maybe one of the most serious situations I've been in where I had these boots and they were kind of loose fitting, just leather boots. They weren't cowboy boots or anything, but I'd wear them out in the snow and stuff like that. And remember thinking, these are kind of loose and I don't know that I can move as well as I could in tennis shoes or my bare feet because I'm used to that. But, you know, going back to the – I don't want to get you off where you're going with this, but going back to the –
I don't know where I was going.
Okay. But going back to the soccer comment is, you know, you see the highlights from the European – soccer games all the time where the guys start disagreeing with each other and they just start kicking each other in the shin and butt because in their mind that's what they've been doing all day and they don't have the thought, well, I'm going to punch this guy, until one of them does and then again it breaks loose. So I think maybe when people are in that sort of situation, I don't know if freeze is the right word, but they kind of they're not thinking as clearly as like, and whether they start throwing wild punches or they start kicking the guy in the butt, they kind of stick with that until something changes from the outside.
Yeah, well, because you get tunnel vision, you know, when you're scared.
Yeah.
You've got an adrenaline rush going, so you're just kind of going to, you know, I guess, and that's kind of one of the reasons I like some of Mr. Awad's self-defense kind of basics that he teaches really a lot, and I've also really enjoyed the jiu-jitsu thing is because it's sort of like they really strip it down to this is pretty much, Mr. Awad is really good about that. That you're either going to go inside the man or you're going to go outside the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's only so many things the guy's going to do to you. If you keep your posture and as he attacks, you move in and you keep yourself protected while you do it, and then you're able to just block and strike a lot of times just with the same hand.
Mm-hmm.
You just have such a higher percentage chance of, you know, coming out of that than trying to think of some different things to do, you know.
Right.
I think that's one of the probably more unrealistic things about, quote-unquote, self-defense training in the martial arts is, you know, you learn all these different techniques. And the reality of it is most people, they're going to be so scared when they get in a fight or if they're attacked. There's no time to think, oh, well, I'm going to use this technique for this.
I'm going to go to Tiger number one and then hit him with a Mawashi Uki with a flying
crescent
kick.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, most teachers will say, well, you know, that's why you have to do it 1,000 times, you know. Well, it's like, well, you kind of, we all have only so much time. So you need to pick what it is you're going to do 5,000 times, you know, and that needs to be blocking and punching or blocking and clinching and doing a simple takedown, you know, blocking and throwing an elbow. Those are the kind of things you need to practice 5,000 times because those are the things that are going to work the highest percentage of the time.
Well, let me play.
I think that's where it gets a little wild with some of the, you know, some of the different stuff.
Well, you know, I agree with that for the most part, but let me play devil's advocate a little bit with you.
Sure,
Ezra,
yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that I've found is I haven't had to hit anybody, I mean, really hit anybody for a while, and it's pretty rare that it even would come close. But what I have had to do is deal with drunken idiots. And they might not be punching me. They might not be kicking me. But they might be reaching out to grab me. And you got to think, okay, do I want to work hitting with one of these elbows that I've been practicing 1,000 times and knock all his teeth out and then cause a big problem? Yeah. Or do I want to put this idiot in a little bit of a wrist lock and tell him to knock this bullshit off? And it's for me, it's usually been the latter. So I like having some of these other techniques that you can use. Maybe they are a little bit fancier. Maybe you couldn't use them if someone was really swinging at you. But it gives you a nice alternative if you can do these to really having to hurt somebody. And another thing I've said before is that I've gotten out of more fights because I know martial arts than I've gotten in. Meaning, because I know how to do some of these techniques, or I'm carrying myself different, I know how to talk to people, or I don't get panicked when somebody starts screaming at me, you can get out of some of the stuff that you maybe would have gotten
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, and I think that's another big part of the equation there, is having because as you say, if you have a speedometer that reads from 0 to 100, a lot of the stuff, say like those techniques that I'm referring to that Mr. Awa teaches a lot, which really are like the first three T-hones. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of when we do basics with him, those things kind of fit into the real basic T-hone waza.
Block, punch, punch, with the, block, punch, kick.
Blocking and striking with the same hand and stuff like that.
Right.
A lot of that stuff really, even though it's just really, really simple, is really more on the 100 mile per hour end.
Right.
Of the spectrum there. You know, I mean, you're really, bashing the guy at that point.
And he's great at that.
Great,
and maybe
he artist to have some space in between there, in between, even really, really in between verbal confrontation and actually touching somebody. It's really good to have something. And that's one of my favorite things in jiu-jitsu that I've learned, is they teach they don't have a name for it.
Okay.
It's just basic sort of defensive position. They call it talking Italian, or talking with your hands.
I like that.
That's the way they refer to it usually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeff Thompson, who I really like, the English self-defense guy, he calls it the fence. And it's just basically where you have your both hands open, kind of in front of you. You start sort of with them maybe folded in front of your body, like the way a police officer would when they're talking, just kind of like about even with your solar plexus or sternum. And then if the person starts to come towards you, just kind of put your hands palm out towards the guy, and sort of, as a way to say, hey, you slow down and all this kind of stuff. And we really practice doing that in there. We kind of sort of do role playing. Like, I think you guys did that stuff at Mr. Walker's school too,
absolutely.
The one guy's coming up, he's angry, and you sort of practice getting in this position. It was really interesting when I first started there, and we would do that. It was very hard for me not to look aggressive.
Oh yeah, sure. And so, and that's the nice thing
just
about
going into sort of an aggressive posture,
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about when you have your hands up, because there's a lot of people that just talk with their hands. I'm doing it now as we're recording this, and you have your hands up, and you can have them out. And the nice thing about having them out is you're not putting your hands up like a Irish boxer from 1911.
Yeah.
Like the fighting Irish. You got your hands up and you're talking, and if somebody does something unexpected, they're already up there, but you can also kind of calm them down, and you don't look aggressive, and you're not escalating the situation.
Yeah. So that's a great, that's an awesome, awesome technique to be able to do. It's also really important now, and this is sort of Mr. McClain stressed a lot more, and I'm equally glad for other reasons to have done this a lot, that you need to be able to punch from wherever your hand is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to move from right there. You have to really get away from loading up. And that's the way, he would always make us do, like, the hip hons. The hand just moves straight into the high block. That's
okay.
Like one of the first things learn in there. It's probably the first thing that you do 5,000 times with Mr. McClain is do a high block from school-ready position from right where your hand is. Mm-hmm. And he would really wear you out if you were, like, bringing the hand back and then going up, mm-hmm. you know, any kind of prior movement, because he really wanted you to be able to just go, boom, just from right there. And that's a great skill to have, too, because, you know, sometimes
you don't know when it's going to come.
People are going to catch you with, yeah, especially if you're going to get sucker punched, you might not have your hand up. You may not even know what's going to happen, and
right.
you just catch it out of the corner of your eye, and your hand goes up, and boom, you're able to block. So right. that's a really good thing, too. He used to say that as far as for the Sherwood people, that was one of the things that he felt like you learned from doing the animal forms.
Okay.
Was how to move from wherever your hand is. And the example he gave is if you think about the first tiger position, which is the kind of tiger, it's in a lot of.
So you have, you're like in a low stance, you have your right hand low, your left hand up high above your head. So
that's right.
And you see a lot of kung fu.
He would give the example of leaning up against the wall with one hand up like that, having one hand up above your head. Hmm. And he would show how, you know, if you started to come at him, he could just take the hand and just move it right from where it was and block or do a strike. You know, I always thought that was an interesting thing.
Yeah, very cool. All right, Ezra, I'm going to take a quick break here. I'm going to stop the recorder. I'm going to refill my cup of coffee. I'm not going to hang up on you, and then we're going to pick it up from there, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, great.
To learn more about Ezra Scott and McLean's Kosho School of Karate, you can visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. And to learn more about Ezra's jiu-jitsu teacher, Eric Silver, visit www.zanshindojonashville.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. Nihei de biru, and de mata ya. Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.